Live from the Next Title Studio, this is News Talk 670 KBOI. This is Bronco Monday. We'll discuss the most recent Boise State game and talk about the upcoming schedule. Now here's Chris Walton and the voice of the Broncos, Bob Beeler, on 670 KBOI.
KBOI News Time is 8:39, and it's one of those Bronco Mondays that we enjoy when the Broncos had a fantastic weekend. Bob Beeler is joining us from, I believe, from Dallas, Texas this morning.
Are you on? That is correct, sir.
How's it going, Bob?
Very good. It is extremely foggy as I look out my window in Dallas. I didn't realize it got this foggy in Dallas. It was not foggy last night when I landed, getting ready for the basketball game tonight against SMU, but not a very nice day, at least looking to start in Dallas so far.
And you've got the pregame for basketball starting tonight at 6:30.
And Boise State with their best start ever, 10-1 for basketball. We'll get to basketball in just a little while on this Bronco Monday. But coming off that big win in the Las Vegas Bowl, 38-28 over Oregon. And, Chris, it was one of those games I thought that the score was not indicative of the way the game was played.
Yeah.
The final 37 seconds of the first half was about as big a disaster for Boise State, giving up two defensive touchdowns to Oregon. Oregon had done nothing. I mean, I thought Boise State was going to win the game, but I thought it was going to be one of those that they'd eke out, much like they did in the Las Vegas Bowl against Washington back in 2012, where they went on a last-second field goal. But Boise State dominated the line of scrimmage. Oregon's running game that was one of the top 10 in the country. I know they didn't have Freeman, but I was impressed with what I thought I saw with the other running backs. They had no lanes to run, and I thought one of the hidden reasons Boise State won was how many tackles for loss or at the line of scrimmage Boise State was able to get on either second and short or third and short that forced Oregon to punt, especially in the first half. So,
yeah, it was amazing.
Andy Avalos we trust defensively because Oregon's offense did nothing.
It was an amazing defensive effort, to be sure. My favorite part of the game, of course, as you said, was in the first quarter and most of the second quarter, and Boise State led 24-0. And then I felt like we were playing Washington State again.
Kind of was a little bit, wasn't it? But they were able to regain themselves, and I thought the biggest drive of the game was in the third quarter when Boise State got the ball back, you know, to start the third quarter, and then, you know, went down the field, took over 5 minutes of the third quarter off the clock, scored on a 12-play drive, ripping to Danans. Danans wouldn't be denied. Danans had a couple of big catches. You know, Jake Rowe didn't get to play. He was still hurt, tried to give it a go, but couldn't go. Boise State got a fourth down, only the third fourth down conversion all season that was on the first drive of the game. And then Danans also got a catch for the touchdown where, you know, it looked like, you know what, I could see that corner of the end zone. I'm a senior. I'm playing my last game. I'm going to get in there for a touchdown. And he did. And I thought, you know, once it went to 31-14, I thought that was the ball game at that point. I never really felt that, you know, Oregon after that was going to come back and win the game.
Yeah, I felt pretty comfortable about the whole thing myself. Alec Danans, my favorite play by him definitely was that fourth down conversion because it was so close to the goal line.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Boise State had a chance to go in for a touchdown. And I thought, you know, if this play doesn't work, obviously, well, why not just take the 3 points? But it did work.
Yeah, and I just think that Boise State played the game against Oregon just with a different passion and an excitement and enthusiasm that I didn't see from the Ducks. Again, the line play all to Boise State. And you know, we've gone, 5 minutes talking, and I think, you know, shame on us. Cedric Wilson was the game's MVP, became the school's all-time leading receiving leader for a single season with his performance against Oregon. It seemed like every time they needed a big catch, it went to him, finishing with 10 catches for 221 yards and a touchdown. And as we look to next year, Chris, I think he's going to be the single most difficult player to replace.
Yeah, I wonder how that's going to happen. I mean, every year we have players like that, and we think, oh, my gosh, how are we ever going to replace a guy like that? And Boise State seems to do it. But, yeah, Cedric Wilson, something special.
And he has, you know, just been a godsend to this team for the last two seasons. One of just three wide receivers to have 2,000-yard seasons. And then, you know, he came into the game needing 122 yards to tie Thomas Spurbeck's single-season record that was set in, you know, 2015. And you know, when you look at 122, that was one of those numbers because he had been over 110 prior times during his career. You'd think, okay, that's doable. Well, it was reached pretty early on in the game, and then he finished with over 200 yards, a career best, 221 yards, 10 catches. 10 catches wasn't quite a career best. I think he had 13 in one game, but the 221 certainly was. So a way for him to go out with the bang and also to take a little hardware home.
Yeah, one of the best things for fans is to watch these guys who you've seen play well most of their careers, not all 4 years necessarily, but seniors going out with a terrific game.
Well, and then on the defensive side of the ball, very few seniors. I think maybe the only biggest question is whether Leighton Vander Esch, who had a 12-tackle performance, three of them for loss, forced a fumble, had a sack. You know, they did not like the Mountain West Championship award a defensive player of the game. Had they have done it, I think that he probably would have taken it home for Boise State. I think the only question is, you know, does he weigh his options and decide, you know what, I decide I want to come out after, you know, three seasons at Boise State. We'll see. But if he is back, you know, there's a handful of backups. And when I mean a handful, I mean maybe three or four. They won't be returning to the defensive side of the ball. The defense, to me, flat out loaded for next year. You're always going to have to replace a couple of offensive linemen. It always seems that there's a couple seniors, no matter who you are, that end up starting in the offensive line. So every year it seems like that's, you know, a group that has to kind of be, you know, retooled a little bit. But you'll have Madison back. You'll have, you know, Rippon back at quarterback again, finding somebody to replace Wilson. You lose two tight ends, and then I think you're probably going to need a second running back. Somebody's going to step up because Wolpin's gone.
We will take a short break. It's Bronco Monday with Bob Beeler and me, Chris Walton. It's 8:45.
If you've fallen behind on your taxes, you know.
KBOY News Time, 8:47. It's Bronco Monday. Bob Beeler is joining us on the phone from Dallas, Texas, where there is basketball tonight, Bob.
Yes, there is, and Boise State basketball is off to its best start, Chris, and I'm sure you probably remember the team. You've been around a long time. The 87-88 team, I believe, went to 16-1 to start. That team is off to as good a start at 10-1 as that team was through 11 games, and tonight they may have their most difficult road challenge of the season. I say most difficult, and I say it kind of with a question mark at the end. Oregon had a 46-game win streak that Boise State snapped. That was the longest at the time. SMU right now has a 29-game home court win streak, which is second only to Cincinnati. So Boise State going into the Lions Den again. The Mustangs came to Boise last year, and Boise State won that game against the SMU 71-62, held the Mustangs to 1 out of 11 three-point shooting. So we'll see if Boise State can win 2 years in a row against SMU, but it's going to be a tough task. They were 30-5 last year. They were a sixth seed, lost in the first round of the tournament, had two guys drafted in the NBA. So on paper, it looks like maybe they're not quite as good as they were last year, but they've got a transfer from Arkansas and a couple of freshmen and look pretty sharp. So I think we're looking at a tough matchup tonight for Boise State. And if they can get to 11-1, finish out non-conference with two huge road wins against teams that do not lose at home, boy, what a start it would be to the season.
How is the health of the team?
Seems pretty good. I mean, they got in before me. They were practicing when I came. They practiced yesterday at the Dallas Mavericks practice facility over by the Mavericks arena. So seemed like they had a good time with that. But, you know, this team has settled into, you know, the group that's starting, the, you know, two or three guys that come off the bench. For me, it's a team that has found its identity about as quickly as you could expect, especially with some new faces. The two grad transfers, Chris Sengfelder and Lexus Williams, have come in, and they have, you know, filled the roles that Coach Rice needed. And, you know, and in a game, most games, Chandler Hutchison is the best player on the floor. He's one of three guys this year across the country that's averaging 15 points, 8 rebounds, and 4 assists. They're going to be a really good player for SMU tonight, Shake Milton, who will give Boise State fits. He is 6'6", so he's about Chandler's height, but he's the point guard as well. He averages 18 points, 4.5 rebounds, 4.5 assists. So, you know, we could sell tickets to a one-on-one matchup between Milton and Hutchison, or a five-on-five between Boise State and SMU, would be pleased with both.
It's been 5 days since that surprising game against Grand Canyon, which Boise State, of course, won in two overtimes.
Yeah, and I think when you look at the season, the fact that Boise State's had to have three games that they have won right at the end, one on the road against Oregon, the one you mentioned at home against Grand Canyon, and then a game in a neutral site against Texas El Paso, where they had to come from a long ways down. They were never that far down against you know, Oregon, and, you know, they were down 10 in the first half, but the second half they were down 5 or 6 most of the second half. I think it's going to bode well because you're going to be on the road in conference play, maybe even at home too, against some good teams and be down, and I think the ability to come back and the confidence to be able to come back is going to be good. The thing that impressed me, Chris, about Grand Canyon and Dan Marley, I thought it was an extremely well-coached team. They were deep. They played about 10 guys. It didn't seem like there was much drop-off when they substituted. Was the fact that that team played defense. The other home games, Boise State, the closest home game was 20 points, and it's because those teams didn't defend the Broncos, and Boise State had an awful lot of, you know, free looks from three. Boise State really had to work for their shots against Grand Canyon. It was a tough game, and I think the sixth man, I think the crowd helped get them past Grand Canyon. It was a crowd of, you know, between 4,500 and 5,000 people, but boy, were they into it. It was about as loud of a crowd as I've heard in a long time, especially, you know, for a crowd that, you know, isn't 9 or 10,000 when you get somebody, you know, a big crowd for, say, a San Diego State or somebody like that. But I think this Boise State basketball team, you know, is either the best team in the Mountain West or right there with Nevada. I think UNLV has improved this year. Fresno State looks like they've got a good team. And obviously San Diego State, even though they have the assistant coach taken over for Steve Fisher, Coach Dutcher looks like they're off to a pretty good start. So I think there's 4 or 5 teams in the Mountain West that could win the league, and Boise State certainly is one of them.
It's 8:52. We'll take a short break and be back with more Bronco Monday. KBOY News Time, 8:55. We have just about 90 seconds left. Bob Beeler still on the phone with us from Dallas, Texas, where Boise State tonight plays SMU.
6:30 tonight with a pregame show right here on 670 KBOI. And again, something's got to give. SMU's won 29 straight at home. Boise State 10-1 on a 6-game win streak. Should be a really good one tonight from Dallas.
It's been
maybe George Bush will be here. The younger George Bush. He's a fairly regular attendee to SMU games. We'll see if he comes to the game tonight.
Well, that could be fun. I mean, you know, shouldn't be that difficult to get him to talk at halftime, right?
Well, wouldn't that be a great interview? Wouldn't that be a great interview?
It's a possibility.
Abe couldn't make it. Maybe I could offer him the color spot.
I like that, yeah. So what did you think of that, George? Well, that was really good. Okay. 29-game home winning streak for SMU. The guys have had 5 days off, and they don't play again for several days.
Right. The conference will start in the next home game, December 27th. And, boy, the Colorado State games always seem to go down to the wire. So people should plan to come out looking for something to do after Christmas, between Christmas and New Year's. 7:30 next Wednesday on the 27th against Colorado State.
No Bronco Tuesday tomorrow because most of the students, of course, are going to be on vacation or out of town. And Bob,
I'll be in the air, so I don't know that you'll be able to get me.
Yeah,
so.
Good point. We'll look forward to hearing from you at 6:30 tonight, Bob.
All right. Thanks so much, Chris. And if I don't talk to you again, have a great holiday.
You too. KBOY News Time is 8:56. We're going to have open phones coming up here after the top of the hour with me, Chris Walton, and guest host Debbie McAllister. That's coming up.
If you're talking about it...
They don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
It's 9:06, and Paul J. is not in today. My co-host today is somebody who hasn't been on KBOI before. You've heard her voice maybe on a few commercials, but never on the show until today. And her name is Debbie McAllister.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's nice to be
you.
Here.
Now, full disclosure, Debbie is a woman.
Thank you for letting me know. I thought that was the case,
yeah.
But I'm sure.
And the second thing I should probably tell you, this is Chris Walton, by the way. The second thing I should probably tell you is that I am married to Debbie and have been. Coming up Wednesday, it's our 10th anniversary.
Yes, and they said it wouldn't last.
Well, congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
It's Todd with 1D.
We're very happy.
And
I proclaimed it.
Okay, so you're already too happy for this station. We have to be angry about things that are going
angry.
On
I'm
in the world
I'm very
right
angry.
Now.
Okay. I'm angry I married you. How's
okay,
that?
Okay. Well, not that necessarily.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I'm very happy I married you. I'm
and,
trying to sound sober.
We're going to jump around to a few different topics this morning. So I'm going to call this sort of an open phones Friday on Monday, which I realize is not Friday. Let me give you our number. I would like some of you to call in and talk to us this morning. Now, another disclosure thing, and this is, okay, I'm going to reveal something about you.
Yikes.
Which is sort of different than me and sort of different than Paul J. You're a little, how do I put this, a little farther left than we are.
Yes, some people say I'm okay. Very far left.
Okay, so
I try to be moderately left.
You're probably just a little tiny bit farther left than, say, Bernie Sanders.
Bernie Sanders is one of okay. my faves. I enjoy him.
Okay. But that's no problem because it's offset by, for instance, well, compared to you, I come off as Richard Nixon.
You're very grumpy.
This is true, too.
We have a lot of interesting conversations at home.
Yes, we do.
You set me straight sometimes.
Generally on this show, I end up coming off almost as the liberal because I'm to the right of center, but apparently I'm not far enough right for a lot of people, but that's fine. But we want to get some calls this morning to talk to us about our different subjects that we've got. Our local number is 208-336-3700, 208-336-3700. If you are outside the Boise area, it's 1-800-529-KBOI, which is 1-800-529-5264. You can also, on a Verizon wireless plan, just hit #670. Over the weekend, this kind of caught my eye. I've always kind of thought, as some philosophers have said, getting real deep here, that the quality of your thoughts is related to the quality of your language. If you have a large vocabulary, if you know a lot of words, as the president would say, I have all the best words. And
you have
like that.
You personally have a lot of great words. You can
okay.
talk anybody into a corner.
Well, it depends. Anyway, the quality of your language is it depends on the quality of your thoughts depends on the quality of your language. And I think it was Clarence Darrow, the great lawyer, who said once that somebody was talking about how he swore once in a while. He used a little bit of foul language, and he said, language is a poor enough way to communicate. I think we ought to be able to use all the words we have. Now, on that note,
I love cussing. Love it.
Okay, we can't do it here on the radio.
Okay, I'll refrain.
Now, we actually have a list of words on the radio that we are not allowed to say. And I'll read that. No, I won't read that list. But George Carlin had a funny thing about that years ago. I mean, Todd's a big George Carlin fan, so am I. And 45 years or so ago, he did the 7 words you can't say on television. And it was, of course, that also applies to radio because they decided a long time ago that television and radio were not covered by the free speech, amendment to the Constitution. I guess, because of sensitive ears and whatnot, but that's fine. Anyway, health leaders said they are alarmed. Now, the Centers for Disease Control is located in Atlanta, Georgia. This is the government group that is tasked with telling us if we are in danger of dying of something.
And they tell us very clearly what we're in danger.
Okay. They do. They tell us if there is an outbreak of disease or if we should not go to a certain country because of an outbreak of disease.
Remember when we had Ebola? They were the people that were all over it letting us know if we were going to die.
Now, health leaders said they were alarmed about a report that officials at the Centers for Disease Control, the CDC, are being told not to use words or phrases in things they write, including among those words they cannot use are fetus. Now, I get their point because if somebody is very much against abortion, then they don't like the word fetus because they prefer to call it a baby that's just unborn.
Right.
Transgender, although I'm not sure what you'd call it, if not transgender, and science-based. Now, science-based would be, I guess, the opposite of faith-based.
Oh.
On the other hand, if something is based on science, it is, right?
Right. In fact, I saw yesterday some kind of long sentence that was supposed to replace that. And I thought, that's fairly ridiculous.
Okay. In official budget documents. Now, the 7 words and phrases all told, these are not the ones you can't say on the radio, but these are the ones that they don't want to use in Centers for Disease Control documents. Diversity. Entitlement. Now, entitlement's a controversial word because, is Social Security an entitlement? No, Social Security is not an entitlement. Social Security is like having a bank account that's being managed by, well, God knows. But anyway.
Yeah, I hate that word, entitlement.
Okay.
Every time I hear it, it makes me mad.
Okay. Diversity, fetus, transgender, vulnerable.
I'm vulnerable.
Well,
That seems like a weird word, too.
And then science-based and evidence-based, which I think is fairly close to the same thing as science-based. Those were not to be used in documents that are to be circulated within the federal government and Congress in preparation of the next presidential budget proposal, the paper reported. A CDC official said the feedback to reconsider budget language came from higher-ups in the federal government, not from anyone at the CDC. Apparently, most of them...
They're not happy about it.
Well, for the most part, though, they're like bureaucrats in that they have a sheet of rules, they follow the rules, and they just do, you know, what they're told to do. And so that they weren't necessarily, you know, talking to reporters about how outraged they were. But there were other people in the government who were.
Isn't this covered by the First Amendment? You can use whatever word you want.
I don't know necessarily. I mean, yeah, free speech and whatnot. But I don't know necessarily if you're told, like, for instance, at work, if we were told, okay, in all of our emails, you're not supposed to use
the word the.
Well,
that would make it hard to understand, probably.
That would be very difficult. But let's just say there's just some word that I don't know.
I can't think of any.
For some reason, well, yeah, none come to mind. But for some reason that the higher ups, you know, don't want us to use. Well, that would simply be a rule, and we do what we're told, you know,
right,
to a certain extent when we are employed by someone. But again, it's just there's a big why factor with me. I don't know. Call us at 208-336-3700. We have a caller right now.
Yes, we have Bonnie on from Meridian on line one.
Bonnie, good morning.
This is Bonnie, and I listen to you guys every morning if I can. Big fan of Paul Jay. I've listened to him sports wise for a long, long time. Great Boise State fan. And you know what? It is great to hear a woman this morning, and it's also great to have somebody with sort of a political life views the same as I have.
Oh,
Rush
thanks.
Rush Limbaugh would call me a feminazi, left-wing, wing animal wacko. And I cherish that because I do love animals, and I'm a teacher. I don't think I'm crazy or odd, but I think differently than conservative Idahoans, even though I was born and raised here. But you're a fresh breath this morning. It was great to hear you. Love Paul Jay and your husband, but you have a very professional voice and great to listen to you. And you guys have a wonderful 10th anniversary. Celebrate.
Oh, thank you.
Celebrate. Yes.
And I ask really? Chris all the time, am I crazy?
I know. Especially when you're raised in Idaho, because so many people around you have those views. But
very.
No, yeah. But I hold fast to my views. And like I said, it was a fresh breath of air to listen to you today. And thanks so much.
Thanks, Bonnie. That was nice.
Yeah, and yeah, I'm sure she likes me too. Anyway, Bonnie, it was great to hear from you. Thank you very much. 336-3700, 208-336-3700. It's 9:15. We will take a short break, and we will be right back.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Now you can text Paul Jay and Chris. Text your message to 208-336-3700. Standard text rates apply. Sponsored by Diamond Heating and Cooling.
KBOY News Time is 9:21. It's Idaho Talks Live. Chris Walton along with co-host Debbie McAllister this morning.
Good morning.
Who, as I mentioned, is female, which is interesting for this program.
Why do you keep saying that? Obviously,
I
don't know. I'm a
usually,
woman.
Well, usually Paul Jay is here, and he's not. And we've had other substitutes, and none of them have been female. But
in this day and age, go women.
Okay,
we need some girl power around here.
Yeah, I mean, don't overdo
oh,
it.
Oh, sorry.
Course.
Okay, I'm a woman.
So it's like Bonnie said. I mean, you know, she said that she was born and raised in Idaho, and yet Rush Limbaugh would refer to her as a feminazi.
That cracked me up.
Yeah,
I'm not a feminazi.
Let me get rid of some business here. Well, yeah. Let me do some really interesting things here. The KBOY rewards code for today is Mustang, Mustang, one of your dad's favorite words.
Yes, he drives one.
Yeah, he drives two, actually.
He drives 15.
Yeah,
he's good.
He's got an older one, a classic one from the 60s, and he's also got a brand new one.
Mm-hmm, loves them.
And that's in honor of the fact that tonight at 6:30, our coverage of Boise State basketball starts on KBOY with Bob Beeler from Dallas, Texas, and we are playing the SMU Mustangs. So Mustang is our rewards code. Go to KBOI.com and type that in. Also, right now, we would like to have you call in. It's time to identify the Paul J. play of the game from Saturday's great win over Oregon in the Las Vegas Bowl. It was 38-28 Boise State, in case you've been in a coma. But the number to call for that, 208-336-3711, the first correct answer will win a gift certificate, $50 to Lock, Stock, and Barrel. Again, 208-336-3711. What we've been talking about the last few minutes is, I don't know, we started talking about language a little bit simply because the government, somebody in the government told the Centers for Disease Control not to use seven different words. And these aren't the seven words that you can't say on radio and television, which, by the way, I will not repeat because you still can't use those.
Now you just can't say these seven words in government.
Yeah. Diversity, entitlement, fetus, transgender, vulnerable, evidence-based, and science-based. Now, it occurs to me that these are all kind of liberal words, or not necessarily liberal words, but these are ones that people who are, say, left of center would use more often than people right of center.
I was going to say they are go-to words in this day and age.
Yeah. People left of center would say, well, diversity, that's something that we're supposed to have because...
I'm a big fan of diversity. Women.
I know that you are. The country is not all male and white anymore. It's been a long time. It's been a long time. Well, no, it was never all male because that would have dried up very quickly. Probably one generation it wouldn't have taken. But it's diversity. So that's a word that gets controversial when there are people who say, well, we have to have diversity, but I'm going to force you to have diversity, even though everyone in your town is white, you know, which is something that we run into in Idaho. The next one is entitlement. That is a word.
That's one of those words that I get angry when saying entitlement Social Security.
That tends to be a word that is used more often right of center than left of center, entitlement, because they say, well, you know, why do you feel that you're entitled to these things? Why does the government owe you a living? And we've often said that we don't think necessarily the government owes people a living. However,
I have paid into
country,
Social Security my whole entire life, and I expect to.
Social Security is not an entitlement. It's more like a bank account, like I said, that's being managed by we have no idea who. We need to take a break. Okay, we're still looking for somebody who knows the Paul J. play of the game, 336-3711. Apparently, we've had some wrong answers. It's 925. We'll be back.
Remember, you are listening to Idaho Talks Live on 670 KBOI.
KBOI News Time is 9:36. This is Idaho Talks Live. I'm Chris Walton along with Debbie McAllister this morning.
Good morning.
Who is my co-host and full disclosure, she's also my wife and today is her birthday.
That's right. That's what qualifies me to be here today is your wife.
And we had a caller who wanted to know what your credentials were. She's married to me, and she was in radio for 20 years. So, okay, that's about it.
Really. Yeah, that's about it.
We're having a discussion here. We're not actually producing a documentary. Anyway, it's 9:37, and we have somebody on the line who apparently has got a good guess or knows the Paul J. play of the game. And let's go to that now.
It's Bonnie.
Yeah, this is Bonnie again.
Hi, Bonnie.
Never won anything in my life, but I listened to the play of the game after the game, and it was the interception. I think it was a 19-yard interception by Kahuna or Kahuna.
Well, he is a big Kahuna. Let's put it that way.
He is.
Okay.
Herbert, play fakes. Flushed out of the pocket. Throws the ball. It's intercepted. Picking it off at the 50 is Kaneho, and Kaneho could walk into the end zone. It is a pick six. Curtis Weaver, the guy to have the pressure, and Boise State's defense scores. It's 23-0.
Okay, Bonnie, I believe you got it correct. I'll go ahead with a ruling here. I'll say that since you pointed out you were born and raised in Idaho and not Hawaii, I'm going to say Kahuna was close enough to Kaneho, and you are the winner of a gift certificate to Lock, Stock, and Barrel for $50. Oh,
thank you so much.
Thank you, Bonnie.
Yep. My lucky day. I got to talk to you, and I won a prize.
I appreciate it. Thanks very much. Okay, now, we got an instant message here from Wayne of Cheney, who says, hey, Chris, How certain are you that the list of words not to be used is a true story? Talking about the Centers for Disease Control, and there are apparently seven words or phrases that they have been told not to use in official government documents, including budget requests. He says, how certain are you that the list of words not to be used is a true story? He says, I first saw this story at HuffPost yesterday, Huffington Post. According to then-Secretary Tillerson, it was supposed to have resigned several months ago. According to them, there we go, Secretary Tillerson was supposed to have resigned several months ago, and Trump has colluded with the Russians. Don't know if the story is true or not, but I am suspicious of sources where I saw it. I saw it in the New York Times on Sunday.
And I think and I saw it on the Associated Press.
Yeah, it was on the Associated Press and the Washington Post. Now, as far as how sure am I that this list of words is a true story?
We were not in the meeting.
We were not in the meeting, and I have to either go with the Washington Post, the New York Times, and the Associated Press, or I mean, you know, I don't know what my alternative is, or not. I'll put it that way. So I'm not 100% sure. I'm not even 100% sure that you know, this isn't all a dream. However, it's 9:39. We do have another caller on the air.
We have Gary from Emmett.
Well, hello, Ms. McAllister and Chris.
Hey.
Happy birthday, and what a wonderful voice, Chris, that you brought by bringing your bride to the show.
You mean her. Okay,
thank you, Gary. That's nice.
You have such a... I don't know why they don't feature you. They need to put... At least reading commercials, because you are very good.
Thank you. That's so nice. I feel so happy. It's my birthday.
And I've listened to radio for over 50 years, so I...
You're an expert. You would know.
Yes. My comment is somewhat like your... instant messenger. Why would you believe anything that a poll says, like the polls on the popularity of the president, for instance,
yeah,
when over half of the people polled or surveyed do not believe the news is accurate? They believe in false news in polls that I've recently read. If that is true, why on earth would anybody believe that the polls that are taken, those surveys would be accurate? If the people don't even believe the news, they certainly wouldn't believe the polls and likely would not respond or accurately respond to the polls in the first place.
Okay, let me take a poll with everyone who's on the phone right now, which is you. and how often do you hear a poll? And tell me where you get them, where you actually believe or that you completely don't believe. I mean, you know, what percentage of polls that you hear do you think, well, that's accurate?
The accurate polls I believe and that I hear are the ones the next day after an election.
Okay, those are called results, though, not polls.
Yeah,
okay.
Well, they're polling for results.
Yeah.
That's the ones I believe. And I try not to be I can be skeptical and not cynical.
Yeah.
But it's harder and harder not to be cynical as I become more and more skeptical as I see more and more things that I know
and I'm glad,
just can't be true.
I'm glad you used those two words because those aren't the same thing. Skeptical is, wow, I don't know if that's true. That doesn't sound right. And cynical is, those guys are all liars and paid off.
However,
that's
there's
right.
Investigative journalists looking into these things, and so...
And they're all liars and paid off.
Yeah, I don't believe that.
Well, I don't know. I mean,
and we have to believe in something. If we don't believe in the news that we're getting, and if we don't look at different sources and come up with our own version of what the news is based on different sources, then we are going to be in big trouble.
And
we need to have some facts.
Okay, and also, if you do that over a long period of time, you can probably figure out who you can trust and who you can't,
right,
based on if you go back a year later and find out who was, you know, more accurate.
That's true. I, though, trust only those things that I have actually seen results in, and even I might be lying to myself.
Okay, if you know, whether, okay, let's say, let's do, I always compare Fox News and MSNBC. Because even though they're not necessarily as far right or as far left as you can go, one is a little right of center and the other is a little left of center, and it's not hard to tell which. But, like, between those two, do you ever hear anything and you think, okay, that's got to be right?
Occasionally, I come close to believing that on Fox, and Fox, as some people say, are to the right, still have a lot of left or far left commentators on.
Two, I think.
And, I'm sure that MSNBC, which I don't watch, has an occasional token conservative on.
That's, I believe they also have two.
Yeah,
so,
they have a couple of shows that have Republicans
hosting
them.
Republicans are not necessarily
that's
conservatives.
That's a good point.
That's two different groups there. You know, pragmatism is where everyone needs to be. It's like, who am I going to believe, you or my lion eyes? And I think I try to believe my own eyes first.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other...
So you prefer things to be more evidence-based.
Yes, and I believe that not everything passes the smell test.
Yeah.
And those things that don't, regardless of the source, should be pretty obvious at some point.
Gary, I appreciate your call this morning.
You bet.
Thank you for your kind words as well.
And thank you for bringing your bride.
Thank you.
You betcha. Happy to do it.
Happy anniversary and happy birthday.
Thank you.
It's 944 336 3700, 208 336 3700. That's our local number to call. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Idaho Talks Live with Paul, Jay, and Chris. Rush Limbaugh comes up at 10 on 670 KBOI.
KBOI News Time is 949. It's Idaho Talks Live. Chris Walton along with my co-host, Debbie McAllister.
Good morning.
Who I'm also married to. And, happy birthday to you, Debbie.
Thank you.
By the way, it's her birthday. I may have mentioned that a couple hundred times this morning. Anyway, Dave of Boise has written in. We've been talking about the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, and
the words they've banned.
Well, the story that came out this weekend.
Correct.
That somebody in the government has asked them not to use certain words when they make budget proposals.
That we believed.
It sounds real. The words are things like diversity and fetus, and evidence-based, and science-based, and a few others. Dave of Boise wrote in, and he says, I would like to know why the people with the same views don't live in the same state. If they did, we would all be getting along instead of a few minorities hell-bent on changing the minds of the majority. It has never made sense to me. It seems like a simple solution to a lot of arguing that gets no one anywhere.
Isn't that how the libertarians feel? Like they should all be together? I'm not sure.
Well, I don't know. Logistically, that would be difficult in that, like, for instance, you and I don't always agree on everything.
No.
And yet we live in the same house.
No, I would not kick you out for that either.
It would get expensive.
We can't everyone can't just afford to up and move
someplace. No, that's true. But he does have a good point. I'm not making fun of what he's saying simply because, like, for instance, there are people who moved here from California because, you know, they call it the People's Republic of California, and they come here because they want to, live more of a conservative lifestyle. And to a certain extent, you can still find that here.
But don't you think you should have more than one view coming together so everyone can have a better understanding?
Yeah, I'm going to go with yes on that. I know you feel that way. I tend to feel that way as well. I don't think everybody does. There are plenty of people who would just like, you know, for once to get together with friends and have them all, you know, say, hey, you are absolutely brilliant when you say these things.
Yes.
As opposed to, what an idiot you are.
Well, I do enjoy that, too. My dad was here, a couple of weeks, and
right. He
told me everything I had to say was somehow wrong, and that pleasant.
Yeah, this is Colonel Lolliker of the U.S. Army.
However,
retired.
I enjoyed hearing his perspective.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I mean, I like to be right all the time.
I mean, and he reads the Washington Post and believes things that are in the Washington Post, but he also argues with the Washington Post.
Yeah, he likes to argue.
Yeah,
that's
well,
true.
And he does, and he's a pretty good arguer.
Yes, he is. Professional.
I was born and raised in Idaho, so I tend to be more Idaho. And you've lived all over the place since your family was a military family. You were born in Oklahoma, but you lived in California for a long period of time. And
Washington,
you lived you lived right outside Washington D.C. In Alexandria, which basically is Washington D.C. And you and I don't see eye to eye on everything.
No, but that's okay because I like knowing your perspective and I like you knowing mine.
Let's get back to the phones. Who have we got?
We've got Pro-Life on the line.
Pro-Life, how are you?
I'm very good. You know, when anybody in any setting, any context, institution, whatever, when some person, maybe an authority, is telling other people what their language choice should be, that's a control situation, and I don't think it's right. I think that every person should use the language that they want to use and express themselves in their sincerity. And so I'm just really opposed to, and I know that it happens in the news media. The editors are telling the reporters will write something up, and then the editors will change the words and mess around with it.
Having been a newspaper reporter, I can tell you that is 1,000% true.
And my mother used to complain about the same thing.
Yeah.
Right, and so I'm saying that that's evil, that you just don't do that. You just let the person express themselves, or you don't let it, or you just say you don't get to write this time, or you're fired or whatever.
No.
But the person has to be allowed to have their integrity.
Yeah. Pro-life, I'm glad you called, simply because one of the words that apparently was banned from the CDC's language was fetus. And I know that you don't particularly, I'm going to go ahead and guess that you don't care for the word fetus as much as you would simply unborn child.
Right, because the Latin word for fetus is baby. So in other words, if you say fetus demise, I actually believe that that's a murdered baby.
Okay.
Now,
and that's not a surprise. I mean, you changed your name years ago to Pro-Life.
Right.
Right.
But now, see, if I want to use the language to communicate with whoever on their terms, fetus is kind of like a technical medical term,
mm-hmm.
but baby is a term that we all understand.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's an unborn baby, that means a baby in the womb.
Yeah.
So, you know, people get that real quick. And so I use the language that people can understand. And I think that anybody trying to communicate should do that.
Yeah. Now, we've used the example before in the Army, where in World War I, there is a point where a fighting man's nerves have just gotten, you know, there's so much noise and so much danger that his nerves have thank you, Pro-Life, by the way, we need to wrap up the show, but where his nerves have gotten to him. And in World War I, that was called shell shock, and it changed over time from battle fatigue in World War II to operational exhaustion, and it's now called, well, it was called post-traumatic stress disorder, and then they decided to call it post-traumatic stress syndrome. And that just kind of takes the feeling out of it.
Right.
And a lot of people think if you were still calling it shell shock, that everyone would get more about what it is.
Yes, they would be more tentative about sending people to war, and because they don't want them to be shell shocked.
It is 9:55. We're going to wrap this show up. Rush Limbaugh coming up next here on KBOI. Todd with 1D, thank you. And Debbie, thanks.
Thank you for having me. I really enjoyed myself.
Hope you can be back on again.
I would love that.
Soon. See you tomorrow.